Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career.
While attending RAMS 2017, we enjoyed conversations with friends, colleagues, and listeners of the show. In this episode of Speaking of Reliability, please join me, Fred Schenkelberg, in conversation with Mohammed Mobin.
So welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkelberg, and I'm sitting down at RAMS with Mohammed Mobin. And if I understand correctly, is this your first RAMS?
It's actually my third RAMS.
Third RAMS, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're a regular here now.
Actually, it's since I've started my PhD and I focused on reliability as my research topic, I try to attend RAMS to connect to people, you know, and present my research results.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, well, let's get into your research here in a moment, but your university, you're at Western New England University?
Yes.
I didn't know they would have a reliability PhD program.
Actually, the major I'm studying is engineering management, so PhD in engineering management.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a chance to work with my advisor, Dr. Lee, who is like experts in reliability and maintainability. So I had a chance to like learn more about reliability after taking his courses. About reliability, and then I found my interest in reliability and maintainability, and how I can apply the techniques I have had from my background, from my master program, which is operation research, to be applied in reliability modeling and optimizations.
Okay.
So yeah, the focus of my research is actually about applications of different decision-making tools such as optimization, simulation, and data analytics in reliability, maintainability, and quality.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you mentioned you've seen a bunch of my articles on LinkedIn and postings and so on, and you know that I talk about the decision-making process.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of our tools, and it sounds like your research is right on that line.
Yeah. Actually, the one of the interesting topic I work on during my PhD research was about how we can come up with the best plan for reliability improvement, especially when we are developing a new product or a new system.
Mm-hmm.
How, like, we cannot improve the reliability forever. We have to satisfy the customer's requirement or the legislative requirements of the product.
Right.
But we have limited time and limited cost. So how we can come up with the optimum plan of reliability improvement?
How did you go about answering that question? Because there's, as you know, here at the conference, there's hundreds of tools we're going to talk about and techniques. And everybody says you have to do this. And this is the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. You know, as a case study, I work on the next generation of a dual engine for the Caterpillar company for the locomotive, which actually my advisor brought the data because he works over there.
Right.
So he asked me if we have this data. And we have this system that is going to be developed. We want to come up with the optimum reliability growth plan to offer that to the decision makers. So they want to improve the reliability while they are developing the next generation of the engine.
Right.
We have limited number of parts to be tested. We have limited budgets, and we also want to be on the schedule.
Right.
So model the reliability improvement and give me some like optimum solutions of the reliability growth plan in terms of like how many test units for each subsystem of the system, how long we are going to test, and how much cost we are going to spend on each test.
Right.
And what would be the reliability improvement after each plan.
And that's an estimate at that point. Do you account for that it's just an estimate?
Yeah, it's an estimation, Right. Well, we use like historical data and experts' judgment to come up with the data, but like it's always, we always have some uncertainties.
Well, in the plan, does it include things like vibration testing or high temperature testing or FMEA or those kinds of, so how, if somebody says, well, if we do vibration testing, there's not really a guarantee we're going to find something wrong that we can then go improve. How would you, is it that level of detail in the plan?
Yes. We do consider like the effectiveness of a test. So we consider a factor as the effectiveness factor in our test. So we sometimes even repeat our test. So we also consider the replication of the test in our model, so the probability of replications. So
is this all testing to failure, you're hoping, or is it test to... One of the things I've experienced, and I'm wondering if you've addressed it, is that, so the companies say, and I used to work at Hewlett Packard, right? And so we made servers. And the first generation of the server, they assessed what the risks were, and they came up with some plan. Now, your research probably would have helped to help narrow it down, but they picked some things. And then over time, they learned some things that they missed and they added a test, or there was a new risk and they added a test. And so the generation after generation, they got a lot of information about what was useful from one test versus another. What they found, though, was for a while, the high temperature exposure stress yielded all kinds of results, and then those got designed out, and then the test became less capable of finding problems because there are just fewer problems to find. They were solved. Do you account for the changing nature of the technology or the design capability?
Actually, one of the main assumptions in my research is that we are given with the FMEA data. So we know how the FMEA went and like what
so
are
we know
the,
what the top risks are and the areas of concern.
We know all the failures and the mitigation activities and like the tests that we need to conduct. So actually I did not focus on that part of like test reliability test. I assume that all the data I need for my reliability growth plan are given and are provided. And actually with to some extent with some levels of uncertainty, for example, the effectiveness of the test or the time of the test, or we have like uncertainty always involved on testing time or like the success rate of the test or effectiveness test of a test, you know, so
what's an effectiveness of a test? How do you define that?
For example, let's say our goal is to identify the failure, one of the failures of a system.
So it may be an unknown failure or suspected
unknown failure.
Failure.
So we, you know, we cannot always guarantee that by conducting this test we are going to realize that, or we are by conducting this mitigation actions we are going to improve that. Mitigate the failure. So we consider based on the historical data and expert judgment, or like based on the past experiences in the new product development process, we can say, for example, if we have this failure, by conducting this V&V activity, we can mitigate the failure.
Or we can determine what's the level of it exists or does it exist.
Does it exist or not, and also like how we can mitigate it. So we always have some uncertainty, but we define the probability. Like we can, by conducting this V&V activity, we can improve the reliability 90% with the variation of like minus plus 5%.
Yeah, I need to tap into that because one of the issues is that you always want to pick the test or investments in reliability improvement that are going to add value. And so if I know that this has got an effectiveness of say 70%, I can discount the potential change in failure rate, that 70% chance that will be useful.
Actually, one of the interesting topics I worked as another chapter of my research, plus reliability growth planning, was the verification and validation activity planning. So we, as a result of FMEA, we have a list of failures, their severity, occurrence, and severity, occurrence, and...
In the detection, are you thinking from
detection, the FMEA? Detection. So we also have like a list of V&V activities. Each with different timelines, with different sequencing, and with different effectiveness level. So we want to come up with the most effective set of V&V activities to conduct in our V&V process, to mitigate all the failure modes in a way that we cover all the failures, critical failures, considering their risk priority number as the level of their criticality. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how we can come up with the best and optimum way of planning V&V activities to mitigate all the failure modes, improve the reliability in an optimum way, under time, on time, and under budget.
Yeah. I know right now, I mean, some organizations basically do what they've always done and just hope that it works, and they may edit it slightly based on what it might be the FME input, mm-hmm. but it's done anecdotally, mm-hmm. right? And then other organizations try to think through and well, let's tailor this test to where we go. You're adding an analytical piece to this, right?
Yeah. I propose a simulation optimization approach. Mm-hmm. Simulation, since we have uncertainty, you know, we want to repeat it and consider different probability distribution. For example, for risk priority number, we always have uncertainty in expert judgment. For example, we cannot always say, for example, the detectability is like 10 out of 10.
Right.
We can say, for example, it's an interval, it's between 8 and 10, let's say.
Right.
Or, for example, for the time of the test or time of the V&V activity, we always have some uncertainty, let's say normal distribution. Mm-hmm. Or, for example, even for the failure, we have different type of failures.
Right.
So how we can integrate and combine all of those probabilities and tackle the uncertainty involved in our FMEA or V&V process using the simulation approach when we have like 1,000 times of process repetition.
Right.
So we simulate the V&V process.
So like a Monte Carlo?
Yeah, Monte Carlo, yeah, mostly Monte Carlo, yeah.
Okay.
And like the simulation for that and the optimization process, because we want to come up with the optimum way of conducting and implementing V&V activities. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So let's say, for example, we have four objectives in our optimization. Reliability improvement in terms of risk priority number mitigation, development, V&V process time, mm-hmm. V&V process cost.
Right, right. And you gotta have also, cost.
Yeah, and also the percentage of coverage, failure coverage. So mm-hmm, mm-hmm. we can say, for example, 100% of my identified failures are covered by conducting this V&V activity or not.
So you get what I think one of the outcomes is that you don't miss a stress or a type of test that you really need to do,
yes.
but vice versa, you also can get rid of a handful of tests that really are redundant,
yes.
or don't provide a high probability of being useful for you.
Yes, yes, the model actually, the model considers all of those. Because we, as I said, one of the input of the model is considering the effectiveness of V&V activity. Mm-hmm. How conducting a V&V activity will mitigate the risk priority number of a failure. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Does it have even effect on the one failure module or not? So we want to come up with the optimum set of V&V activity. Let's say we have 150 V&V activities,
right.
but we have only time for conducting 50 of them.
Right.
How we can come up with the best?
Yeah, now it's done by the program manager and in pet projects and favorites and maybe, you know, expert judgment or in, you know, but you add in an analytical piece, another tool to help lay those things out.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, you mentioned that you got into reliability because of Professor Lee, I think it was, in some classes and so on. And you've pursued it, and you mentioned that you're going to be earn your doctorate in
engineering management.
In engineering management, mm-hmm. I think this spring is the plan.
Yes, right. Hopefully by the end of this year. Yeah, right. It's all by dissertation.
Well, and I know my own experience here at RAMS. It's a great place to meet people and other companies, and who's looking for who, and you know from presenting papers that people come up and talk to you about your research and so on. So, that hopefully that all works out.
I had actually a good experience attending conferences. You know, I presented my result of research, especially at RAMS, since like, let's say comparing to other research conferences, mm-hmm. it's more applications.
Oh, like, very much so.
Yeah, more people from industry comes to RAMS. There are two or three reasons I can mention. First, it's expensive for students.
Yes.
Second, like most of the government and industries cover the expenditure of the traveling and registration for their members. And there are many tutorials at RAMS people can attend from industry to learn. So, mm-hmm. for example, mm-hmm. beginners like me. So. I always try to present my research result at RAMS conference because I wanted to get feedbacks from like the people who are challenging the problem I'm solving. For example, at last RAMS, one of the attendants asked me, like, why you did not consider like uncertainty in your model? For example, we cannot always have exact number for like FME result or for the time or for the cost.
Right.
So you can apply this and like give me a considering the probability of like, you know, different.
So it added a year to your program.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I actually had an extension to my program.
Right.
So.
But it's a really good. I think I asked you the same thing.
Yeah.
Because it's important. You got to make it practical.
Yeah.
But you also get people like Bill Meeker. Well, he was a professor at I think Kansas or Iowa State. He'll correct me. Mm-hmm. But he'll ask you some straight questions. And Wayne Nelson and some of the other real experienced folks that are in our industry.
Yeah.
But then you also get the folks that are program managers or reliability managers mm-hmm. with a big team.
Yeah.
And they need to apply it. They need to go use this right away.
Yeah.
You probably got interest from people that are doing a lot of plan development type stuff.
Yeah, it depends. For example, I had I met one guy from not a big industry. He said, we have this result and we just want to release our product like into the market very mm-hmm. soon. We do not care about like planning or like.
And he's at the conference.
Yeah. He's here actually. He said, that the things you are doing is PhD level. We will not apply this in our industry because like I'm the only person in reliability department, and my manager said, okay, just conduct the test. We need to release our product like tomorrow or let's say next week.
Yeah,
so we do not have time to plan, and optimize our plan.
Oh, okay.
So like, and he said,
it would
like,
actually save him time and money to do it.
Yeah, and he said, if you want to like do this in a regular basis, so okay, we are going to hire you. Otherwise, we're going to like have a consultant outside, like we will give him 10,000, okay, come up with the best plan. So we will not need you always in our company.
That's right. I mean, you've seen that. The company will develop a plan. It might take them a year to implement it.
Yeah.
They got a plan, and they may need some help. I mean, the hard part is actually implementing and getting the samples, getting them measured, setting up all the chambers, all that stuff. That's take time.
Yeah.
And the plan could be done, in and out kind of things. So
yeah,
it might work.
Yeah. But on the other hand, I had some guys from like last year. He actually recognized me after 1 year, and he stopped by my, I was at the reception. Mm-hmm. He stopped by and he said, I'm interested in the research you presented last year, and we are going to do this like this year. Are you available like to work in our company? Something like that.
Well, that's good.
I don't want to name the company.
Yeah, that's fine.
But he actually said, if you are interested, we can start, and he actually asked for my resume. So,
it's all good.
Always
it's good, all good.
Good and bad experience.
So are we going to keep seeing you here at RAMS and presenting even after you get in the
sure.
company?
Yeah, for sure, my goal is to attend RAMS conference. RAMS is one of the main conferences I always attend. So, I'm done with my research, but now it's time to apply my research in real cases and come
That's
up
right.
with a real hand-on experiences in industry. So I'm willing to.
The papers are published. We can point to those on the show notes. Is your research available? People could find that?
Sure. I have published two papers in IEEE transaction on reliability about reliability growth planning.
All right.
So one of them named multiple stage, multiple objective reliability growth planning during developing a new product.
Sounds like a PhD paper.
And one of them is the new approach for reliability growth planning considering the technologies.
Okay.
Like when we want to introduce new technology to our product, when and how we are going to introduce new technology considering the reliability improvement.
Did you attend Larry Crowe's tutorial on reliability growth?
Actually, I attended that last 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah. But I know him, yeah. And
that would be, I was going to say, if you didn't attend that one, I'd... But no, all the best to you and all the success and all that stuff, and I hope to see you at RAMS in the future. And look for this. This is going to be one of our podcast episodes. And,
that would be awesome.
I'll have to get your email, and you can point to those papers and other research that
you've done.
We'll make it available to our audience.
Sure. That would be great. Yeah.
Thank
you so much.
Thanks for introducing yourself.
Thank you for your time.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. to meeting you first, and thank you for having me in your project.
All right, great. Yeah. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation if you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show. Please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.